again, welcome to Antioch Community Church. My name is Travis Phillips, the lead pastor here. You've already got to hear from me, but you got to hear a little bit more. And we are getting to start a new series tonight called The Generous Life. But before we hop in there, I wanted to just reiterate what Andy shared earlier about World Mandate, because tonight is the last night to sign up and to get in your money. And so we'll have a table at the back for you to sign up and get registered for that. And we're excited about the group that's going out and what God is going to do and what he's going to bring back. I know that not all of us are able to go, so we will be having church. If you had that question, 2 weeks from now is when World Mandate is. We will be having church that Sunday, so you can be here and you'll find us here. But if you haven't signed up, you'll want to do that in the back before leaving tonight. So we are excited about the generous life. And there is something about generosity that is just so appealing. And the opposite of generosity, and this might be why generosity itself is so appealing, because the opposite of generosity is selfishness. And we all battle selfishness. You may not know that yet. It took me until the age of 25 and putting this ring on my finger, August 7th, and shortly thereafter, to realize what a selfish human being that I was. And so some of you can testify to that. You realize that in marriage, and maybe some of you have realized that in other places. But I very quickly realized that I care a lot more about what I want than even what this person who I espouse to love so much wants at times. And I am willing to put my dig my heels in and do what it takes basically to get what I want. Now, I didn't think that at first. That's not how I saw it. That came through revelation. I don't know why I needed so much of God's help in that. But I realized that I was a very selfish human being, not giving of myself. And we can all tend to be that way, because up until the point of marriage, I would have considered myself to be fairly generous. I mean, I love people, but it had never really come to a head before. I never really had the opportunity to see, when push comes to shove, am I going to choose what I want and what I'm comfortable with, or would I be willing to give away my rights to have it the way that I want so that someone else can thrive and experience life? And that is the heart of generosity. God displays in magnificent awe the heart of generosity. And to get right to it, he displays that through the person of Jesus. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his own one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So God loved, and that love compelled him to give. He gave. In this instance, he gave of himself. He gave his son that he loved, the son, Jesus, who talked about the intimacy and oneness with the Father in a way that we can't even fathom, that it's hard for us to wrap our minds around the relationship that was there. And yet God so loved that he gave it away. He gave up that which was dearest to him. He gave of himself so that we could live, not because we deserved it, but because his heart was completely and utterly filled with generosity. He was generous to the max. It was this act was the opposite of a selfish act. If God was selfish, he would have done away with us a long time ago. And so God's heart is absolutely filled with generosity in the way that he loves, in the way that he extends mercy to us. He extends mercy to us in a very generous way. Aren't you thankful that his mercy is not given out in small measure? He is not guarding his mercy. When we come to him for mercy, we don't feel from him like, okay, he's given it to me, but he doesn't really want to. He's like, okay, I'll give you mercy again. That's not the generous heart. The generous heart is not one that just goes through the motions because they should. The generous heart is above and beyond in an extravagant measure, giving away that which maybe you don't even deserve. Like we receive mercy abundantly from God. We receive his blessing, his goodness, his favor, because God is generous. And the things that he gives, he doesn't give them with measure. He doesn't measure them out what is to be given to you according to anything that you've done. He gives beyond measure. He pours out his love. He pours out his goodness. He pours out his spirit without measure. Thank you, God, that you are so generous to us, that you display a heart of generosity. Tonight, I want to spend some time in Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 14. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. Mark chapter 14. And what we are going to find on display in one story is a heart of generosity, of lavish, extravagant generosity, while at the same time seeing selfishness in all of its greediness on display as well. Mark chapter 14, I want to begin reading in verse 3. While Jesus was in Bethany reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Now some of those who were present said to one another indignantly, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," Jesus said. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time that you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told of her, in memory of her." What a graphic contrast of two hearts. The heart of this woman. This story is also found in the 12th chapter of John. And we see it to be, this woman is Mary. Is Mary. It's the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And on display in her heart is generosity, extravagance, lavishness, that she would take this perfume. And though it is worth a year's wages, so different amounts of money mean different things to different people, but a year's wages is a year's wages. And that's a lot of money for whoever it is, because that represents an entire year of work, of living, of income to live off of. And here she is, and in a moment, she takes this jar and she spills out its contents on the feet of Jesus. An extravagant act of generosity. Just being completely generous in spirit towards God. This is the essence of a generous heart. That there is no worry about the cost. The cost and what will happen. That is not what is going on in my mind. The sheer joy of being able to demonstrate my heart for this person is the generous heart. On full display at the same time is the heart of selfishness. Immediately grumbling, complaining, indignant an indignant response rises up from those in the room. In the passage in John chapter 12, Judas Iscariot is specifically called out as one who said, "Why the waste? This money could have been given to the poor." In that chapter in John, as it calls out Judas as one of the betrayers in the room, it says, you know, why, this is worth a year's wages. Why was it not sold and the money given to the poor? The next verse says, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to take money from the purse for himself. There was a heart of selfishness that rose up, not compassion for the poor. That's not what was motivating this indignant complaint in the room. In fact, it wasn't even their money. It wasn't theirs. Why the indignant complaint about a lavish gift, a lavish act of giving to Jesus? And here I believe is the answer. Because anytime you see the spirit of generosity on display, there will be an attack of the spirit of selfishness. You can find that war in yourself. I want to be generous, or God is moving in me to be generous towards this person, whether it's giving my time, giving of my resources. I'm moved to be generous. Then all of a sudden there's a voice in your mind, you say, "Oh, but that's going to cost you this, or you don't have time to do that. Or what will happen to the project that you're trying to get done? That's going to be delayed." As soon as generosity rises up in us, there will be shouts from selfishness. There will be an indignant grumbling from the spirit of selfishness that rises up in the room. There's nothing like being around a giver, someone who is marked by a generous spirit. There's nothing like it. And you can probably think of some people in your life that just seem to be more naturally giving of themselves. I've talked many times about Joy, and Joy is my wife, and when we began dating and getting engaged and finally being married, I was blown away by the way that she just gave. And she didn't think about the expense, because that was the first thing that I thought. And I've used the small example of airport rides. And in Boston, that was no small thing. First of all, gas was like $4 plus a gallon. On the way there and back, you can expect $7.50 of tolls. And it's about a 40-minute round trip thing. And so it's kind of a big deal. And maybe you're saying, no, maybe you're more generous than I was, but that was a big deal. And we were college pastors. No college students had cars. And so once we kind of got it out there that, "Hey, we'll give you a ride, we'll give you," it spun out of control in my mind. I'm like, we need to set up like a whole budget category just for airport rides. And I would find myself on the way back getting upset that they forgot to pay me for the tolls. I knew they were going to forget. I didn't ask. I just let bitterness seep in, you know, and I had to deal with it before God. And praise God, he has done a marvelous work. And really, that's what this is about. That's what this series is about, because it is a marvelous work. It is no fun to be bitter about $7.50. It's just not. That should not control us. And though that is a little thing, if the little thing goes unchecked or just dismissed, but we feel that in our heart, and obviously there are bigger things, whatever it is not freedom. It is not a generous spirit. And to be around somebody that's giving is amazing. Unless at that time it's your wife and your money is all in one pool and so you're like, you're still getting there, you know? Other than that, it's amazing. But seriously, I love, and I'm sure you do too, being around people that are just givers. And it's just such a blessing to be around them. We have a good friend named Beth. and she represents this in every area of her life. She just gets in your boat. She loves to serve. She has a gift of creativity. And so if you're throwing a party, it is going to be the best party if she gets involved. And you know, she loves to do it. And you're like, you're giving me so much time. You're being so selfless with hopping in here and helping me where I'm not. And whether it be conversations on the phone and just and being a listening ear, whether it be financially giving and not counting the cost of an airport ride. And you know, I'm sure people wanted Joy to give them a ride to the airport instead of me, because they could probably feel for me like, oh, what's wrong with him? I'm upset for the $7.50, you know? And she's not. And they could probably feel that, because she's like, oh, $7.50, okay, whatever. And Beth was like this. And God put her on my mind, because Beth and her husband weren't able to have kids. And they went through all the procedures, all the prayer. I mean, hours of people praying for them. Because when you're a giver, I mean, and it's never their motivation, but you have a lot of people in your boat. You know what I mean? When the time comes and you've just given freely, because that's the heart that God has given you, and then you need something, you're going through a tough time, you better believe that you're going to get back 100-fold. That's kind of one of those scriptural principles, and we get a little weird about, like, oh, 100-fold, oh, you don't get, you know, give and get like that. And I don't believe that. I'm not there. But you can imagine, if you're a giver and you just have a generous spirit, and you're always giving to people, and people are so loved by you. They're so blessed by you that they feel so like they have value because of you. And now you have need. You better believe that all those people are like, oh, I want to try to bless you. What can we do to help you? So we have people praying and believing for them, getting around them, encouraging, trying. This is going to happen. It didn't happen. But they are overjoyed, because a couple of months ago, they were able to adopt. And they are so ecstatic that God would give them this baby. And I just was thinking about it, who better than Beth, the one who really in a lot just exemplifies this heart of generosity, for God to say, you know, I'm reserving you for all those who don't have a mom, who don't have a dad. I am reserving in you the very best for them, that your home could be filled with giving away to those that have not received love, that otherwise would have faced rejection and isolation. We want to be a giver. We want to be givers who give to those who that we didn't owe it. She didn't owe it to this kid, but she wanted to give her life away, bring them into her home. We want to be a church. This is a church known for having a generous spirit. You walk into this place and people are for you. They have your back. They want to go the extra mile. There's a sincerity. There's something genuine about generosity. There was nothing in Mary's heart that poured out this extravagant gift because she thought she was going to get something in return. That's not in the heart of the generous spirit. But even though that's not in the heart of a generous spirit, she got back so much. In this passage, down in verse 8, first of all, it says, Jesus says, she did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare me for burial. Listen, in those days when someone died, they would pour perfumes and oils on them to prepare their body for burial. Because Jesus died right before the Sabbath, they were not able to do that to his body. In fact, the three women that were going out to the tomb that found the angel, and who said to them, Jesus is no longer here, they were going out to do that because it hadn't been done before. So Mary really was the one who before his death prepared his body. What a beautiful, intimate picture of the opportunity that the one with the generous spirit has. But then it goes on. And in verse 9, he says this, truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And what I just kept sensing was that when we have a generous spirit, given to God, given to his purposes, we are not going to miss out on the great story of God. When we are selfish, when we are looking to our own interests, when our head is down, when we're inward focused, we will miss out on the great story of God that is unfolding in our day. But this one act of extravagant generosity placed Mary in the very storybook of God. And her story to this day is told in memory of her extravagant gift of worship, her generous act of pouring out perfume worth over a year's wages. And it was extravagant. If she would have had three of them, she would have poured them all out. That's the idea you get. So how do we get there? The place to start is with gratitude. In the account in John, when it names Mary as this woman, the chapter right before is the chapter about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. That was Mary's brother. Now we're kind of making a correlation here, but there was gratitude. She already loved Jesus. There was a lot of gratitude before that. But it was increasing. And now her brother, who she was weeping over, who was in the grave for 4 days, Jesus comes and prays over him. And he comes back to life. You think there's not gratitude? You think there's not awe, wonder, worship? Her heart of gratitude for all that Jesus had done in her life was on full display through the spirit of generosity, of extravagant givenness to him. That's where we want to be, because that is authenticity. And I believe that our world, the people that we live with and go by every day, are looking for something that is authentic, something that is genuine. They are looking for you to be a person. They're looking for me to be a person of authenticity, of passion, someone who is genuine. And there is nothing that displays those things more than the spirit of generosity. I believe that. There's nothing that displays that than I am given. And so, like God, because I am compelled by love, I want to extend mercy in our relationship, though you have wronged me. The generous spirit extends mercy. Though I don't even know you, the generous spirit extends love. The generous spirit extends ourself without measure. Now, this is not the sermon to talk about boundaries for those of you who are really good at being generous, you know? Because there's boundaries. There's limitations that we have. I understand that. The vast majority of us, however, need to grow in being generous, in giving of ourselves. And so, in the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about the generous life. A lot of what the generous life is about finances. It's about money. So invite all your friends, okay? And, I'm serious. I was a joke, but I am serious. Because most people are like, okay, I'm not inviting friends. How long is this series? Okay, not inviting friends. Not until the, you know, February 28th, whenever it's done. But seriously, let me share a couple things, and I'll share the final thought on that. It's really interesting. You may have heard this before, but in the Bible, I don't know who counted this. I didn't count it, so I didn't verify. If you want to, you can. I trusted a couple of sources that I found this on. There are more than 500 verses in the Bible concerning prayer. If you find something differently, come back, let me know. And nearly 500 verses concerning faith. But more than 2,000 verses on the subject of money and possessions. Jesus talked about money in 16 of his 38 parables. It was an issue that came up regularly. And I'm not saying that because of that, that faith is less important than money or prayer or what have you. But I share that to say that there's something significant that Jesus and God's word, the Bible, has to communicate to us regarding money and finances. And the reason that it talks so much about it is because there is a direct correlation in our selfish humanity between our heart and our money or our possessions. And we have the tendency to link those things. And so there is a lot that one could tell about our hearts because of how we view or handle our finances. Just like you could tell a lot about where my heart was when that $750 was eating me. You know, I didn't tell that. I hope I didn't show that to anyone. I hope nobody knew that. But that was happening inside. Not a fun place. Not a fun thing. Not something that you want to grow. You know, that's something you want to kill. You want that out of there. You don't want it to grow and get bigger and take over until you can't hold it in anymore, but people realize that you really are selfish, you know? And so we want to talk about it because I believe that the Bible has something to say about it. And here is God's heart in it. God's desire is that money would not have our hearts, but that he would. And that's the end, that's the whole point of this entire series, is that that's his desire. And he knows that in our humanity, our tendency is to give our heart to things. And he talks about it in scripture. Jesus talks about it in parables because God wants our heart. And he doesn't want our heart to be given to stuff. And so this is a very practical sermon series because we as people have a vast tendency to give our heart to stuff, to money, to security in financial areas. And so what we are talking about is a generous life because a generous life will set you free. Will set you free. We're not doing a series having to do with finances because we need your money. We don't. Look, we had $160,000. That's huge. Look at all that money. You know? That's awesome. It was above what we're needing. Praise God. We're doing it because I love my testimony in it, and you'll get to hear a little more about it. I love being free. I love being free. And I love allowing God to even use me because I'm free to be a blessing to others. It's so fun. It is fun. It is a joy. And so that is where God's taking us. That's where he's taking us. And so we start tonight with this question. We start the series tonight and end on this note. Piano player. Just kidding. I didn't want to, I was kind of sending mixed messages there. We start tonight and end. How's that for transition? God wants our heart. And we could be doing any series in the world, and every series that we've done, it always comes back to the heart. God is just after our hearts. And I'm excited about this series because it's significant biblically. It's just clearly significant biblically that the thing that fights the hardest oftentimes for our heart is money and stuff. But we start with this generous life. And I just ask you to examine tonight to say, okay, God, where is my heart? Am I given to generosity? Is there a generous spirit in me that is even spilling out to others? Or am I more marked by selfishness? Does it tend to rear its head? Do people feel that from me? Or maybe they don't feel it from me, but I know. I know. And tonight is our opportunity to hear at the beginning of this series to say, God, take away the selfishness. Take away it being about me and me controlling and me taking my own security into my hands. And let it be about releasing those things. And like Mary, taking up my life, that which is for her a year's worth of wages of her life, and giving it to Jesus. God, we want to be given to you. We want to be given to your purposes. God, any way that selfishness or greed has found a way into our hearts, God, we ask that you would begin to untangle that now. And we want to be extravagant and lavish because we are so authentically grateful for all that you've done. God, I pray that gratitude would rise in the room tonight. We sing so much about it, how thankful we are, how good you are, how you've done these amazing things. And I pray that that gratitude would not just come out in our songs, but it would come out in our hearts. It would come out in our response to you, God, that we are so grateful for what you've done, that our response is to be authentically given to you, to be completely generous with our life. So God, we just extravagantly and lavishly give ourselves to you tonight. Thank you, God, that you are setting us free. Let's stand together, and we want to take the time we have remaining to respond to God. So don't waste any time. If you feel like God is stirring you and you need to repent of selfishness, or you just want to come up and get on your knees and say, God, here I am. I'm given to you. Let's respond to him, because there is a significant work of freedom that he wants to do in our hearts, and he is inviting us to respond to the things that he is speaking and doing.